Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today.
Hi, ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 206. This one goes out to Elias Theodoro. And on that somber note, we'll try to move forward with this ridiculous show that we put out in your ear holes every, what, twice a week? Four times a week. That's how often we do it. I would be your host. It's fumbling things up already. I would be Jeff Chalks Fox. Thanks for allowing us into your ear holes once again. This episode is all about the prelims of this week's upcoming UFC Fight Night. They're back in the UFC Apex. We got UFC Fight Night Sanhagen versus Song, aka UFC Vegas 60. So we will be making picks for that. Just the prelims in this part, and then tomorrow we will get you the main card, props, parlays, all that fun stuff. We should probably get cracking to it because this is a big prelims prelim card that we're going to be breaking down, 9 fights on it. But of course, first we're going to have to talk, I'm going to be forced to talk about last night's Dana White contender series, because somebody is still riding his hot streak. Well, actually, he's back to normal. It's not really a hot streak. This is what we expect from our Gumby God, and he is once again the Gumby God after going 5-0 last night with 2 underdog picks. Of course, I'm talking about Yanni. No, actually, I'm not. I'll talk about Gumby Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I had a good feeling that it was going to be a good night because as Yanni's picks appeared on the screen for his opening parlay, I was like, oh, I literally have the opposite of all of those.
Yep.
And I was like, nice. That means I did my homework appropriately. And I will say it did look a little hairy there, but ultimately, yes. The one that looked hairy, also, I like went back and listened to what I had said about it, partially because we already had a clip up on our Twitter, which you can follow at SGPNMMA. Quick little shameless plug there. I went back and listened to some of that talk, and I said Malik Lewis is better than Trevor Peak. I like even said it right in the podcast. I was like, he is a better fighter. He's more skilled. He has more ways to finish it. And I just don't care. I'm going to pick the big, tough, going to survive and land a big bomb redneck from Alabama. And boy, yep. Did the redneck from Alabama look good.
He's got that dog in him, as they like to say.
Yeah. He, I know that phrase gets like overused, especially in MMA.
Yes.
But yep. My God, does he have that dog in him?
Yep. As does... who's that gentleman who got his leg destroyed in the first fight? Lewis, let's go, Lewis. Let's go,
oh,
Lewis.
Yeah.
Has that dog in him as well. But
and that's not the first time we've seen him like do that too. Because he got the snot beat out of him by Mo Miller. You can't doubt that dude's toughness. He's just like for the game plan he devises and what he's good at, right? Like he's good at low leg kicks and he's good at throwing hooks to the body. That's not a short man's game, right?
Yeah.
Like a short man can't win all the time when he thrives off of like power leg kicks and like he was literally beating Beat in his own game by Daniel Marcos in that fight because Daniel Marcos was adequately good at those things and actually maybe like far better than I imagined and way taller.
Yep. I guess I'm kind of underselling, if it's even possible, what you did last night. You didn't just hit like little dogs. +130. That's more than a little dog to me is like almost a pick'em. So +130 is pretty sizable. +170 is even better. So Dan really hit it out of the park last night. People were going crazy. I wasn't able to get in the Discord because Tuesday night is my son's. I got to have my son out of town for his guitar, for his band. They practice till 8 and then I'm not home till like 8:30 or 9. So I'm never live in the SGPN Discord, unfortunately, but I went back and checked it and people were saying $400 a night for me. It was $400 a night if you just played dance picks from what we gave you. So yeah, people were having a good time last night and part of the fun, at least more than half, winning, you know where I'm going here. Winning money obviously is the biggest part of the fun, but and the fights were fun as well. They were good fights last night, but yeah. But it's that Yanni can be so wrong, and yet he brags about when he hits his one out of 18 or whatever he ends up hitting, whatever his rate is. He goes on Twitter and brags about it. That's the like, people have so much fun. He better never join sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord because you wouldn't like it in there.
That's actually the sixth prediction I got right. I actually said in the Discord too, watch this dude hit like a piece of his main event pick and find a way to brag about it on Twitter. And sure enough, he went so in the main event last night, he went 1-1. He did pick Javid Basharat's money line, which like props to him, or not Javid Basharat, sorry, Fareed Basharat. We're gonna talk about Javid in a second. He did pick Fareed Basharat's money line, which like props to him. That was I think a -235 favorite come fight time. So like that's a sizable favorite, but he was on the right side of one. But then he picked inside the distance too. Like he had a second play in there where he thought it wouldn't go to the judges' scorecards. And of course, you know, famously it was one of the two that went there. And so he went 1-1 in the main event. And like if he put equal bets on those two, wouldn't have broke even and still found a way to brag about it. I love it. It's
one person like someone complimented him or they might have even been sarcastically complimenting him. He's like, yeah, I'm glad there's some smarts around here. Like, yeah, there's some real smart. So what's his record now? Do we know what his record is this season?
Yeah, so I saw it from Fight Ghost is a account on Twitter that I follow. It's usually pretty trustworthy, so I don't think they were misleading us. If you listen to the show, Fight Ghost, let me know all of your research and work you've done. You can DM us. But at one point, going into the main event, they said he was 5 for his last 28.
Yep.
So if he put two bets down in the main event, that puts him at and went 1-1. That would put him at 6 for his last 30 picks.
So he's 6-24 out of his last 30. That's a really good hit rate. And we know at least most of those are probably like we know at least one of them is a pretty big favorite. Basharat was a pretty sizable favorite.
But Basharat is actually probably the lesser of the one compared to because the week before he did hit a couple in the main event the week before. Obviously that's his new favorite bragging point, right? In that Petrino Bellotto fight. But he also one of the ones he liked was the money line on Teresa Blaza last week, which was like -640. So like you're winning $1, $1.19 or something like that on a $10 bet.
Yeah, so he and Daniel Cormier are laughing all over the bank, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was nice to finally have Paul Felder in there. Despite the fact that Paul Felder still has to cue him up all the time, which seems criminal that he should do that, he did find a way to like not kiss Yanni's ass, which was much appreciated.
Yeah, that was kind of the dream team last night. Laura, him, and Brendan Fitzgerald. That's my preferred team for contender series.
Yeah, I could alternate the play-by-play guy. Like I like Fitzgerald. I do like John Anik.
Of course.
And I really
he's too
like,
important for that show though.
Yeah, I really like John Gooden too. I wish there was more John Gooden in my life. So like
the pandemic really screwed that guy over.
Yeah, any of those three would be a fine play by play. But I think you're right. Other than that, for just like the color pair, I think Fitzgerald and Sanko were my go tos.
Yep. So anyhow, it was a good night of fights too. I ended up watching it this morning, but it was, yeah. And then as all the picks were coming in, I'm like, oh boy, Gumby did good. He did even better than 4-1. He did 5-0. But because I am jealous and a bit of a dick, I will mention that you're almost out of the red and into the black now, Dan. You're only down about $60 now on the season for Contender Series. So great job.
Yeah, and really, if you just eliminate those 2 weeks in the
middle. It was just, well, yeah, the second week you didn't do good, but yeah, basically. So the last 3 weeks, we were talking 12-2 and up about $800.
Yeah.
So you were in quite a hole. You lost $500 in 1 week. That kind of hurts.
Here's a fun fact, too. I posted the article I wrote that gave the written breakdown of our podcast. Yep. And I posted it on Reddit so that people could check it out. And I post on Reddit, like, I don't know, once a month just to get an article out that I think is pretty good. For some reason, I posted this one. Felt pretty good about it. And I have like 10 followers on Reddit now, which I didn't know followers are a thing on Reddit. Do you know people follow you on Reddit?
Yeah, people follow me.
I didn't even know that. So and they were all they're all jazzed for next week. So
there you go. Pressure's on again, though.
I'm okay with the pressure. I just put up a 5-0 week. I can mess up a little bit next week.
All right, if you say so. All right, I said we have a bunch of fights to break down, but obviously we had fun and we had to talk about firsthand. So let me tell you about some of our sponsors, then we'll jump into, like I said, we got 9 fights on the prelims to break down. I'm going to tell you about WynnBET first. Thinking of joining WynnBET, now is the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day where you can get 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Wow. Plus, WynnBET has their own same game parlay feature. Just click on the game you like, select build your own bet, and start building a monster parlay, a Hungry Man Jong style parlay. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So they know that we sent you. That sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Just claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Speaking of Hungry Man Jong, you were so, I was thinking the other day, you were so close to hitting that 15-1 or whatever it was last week.
Yeah, because I had the Arena Aldana KO, and your online NSA looked, I mean, I guess he just didn't have the
output. Oh, was it him? I was thinking it was what's his name? Yeah, okay, it was Lion AC, you're right. I was thinking it was Jailton. Yeah, Jailton via TKO, but no. Okay, I gotcha.
But that one, he landed hard in that fight. Yeah. He didn't throw enough to actually get it. So
anyhow, this is the week. This is the week he's going to hit it, but not in this podcast. That'll be on tomorrow's. All right, I'm going to tell you about Elias Sports Bureau now. Football fans, the NFL regular season is finally here, and it's week 2 kicks off, and you get ready to place your bets or lock in your fantasy team. Need to check out the Elias Game Plan app, the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for the NFL, NBA, and MLB that has everything you need to get a competitive advantage. Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats, the Elias Sports Bureau, official statisticians of U.S. pro sports leagues, including the NFL. Their app lets you access team and player stats, head-to-head team comparisons, and Elias key insights from the renowned research team. This app really is your one-stop shop for player news and league-validated player stats and team records, expert game analysis for betting fantasy lineups each week, and showing off your superior sports knowledge to your friends and coworkers. And new features are available all the time, like player injury analysis and player impact reports, which can be huge when it comes to betting and fantasy tournaments. The Elias Insights help me and you, if you get it, know that my game strategy is backed by numbers, not just my intuition. I'm all about making picks based on numbers. Except this, you'll see. I think I have a few picks here that aren't coming up that aren't quite. There are more intuition than numbers. But nonetheless, here's your call to action for Elias. NFL season is here, so don't wait. Download the Elias Game Plan app today. That's Elias. And right now, I have a special offer. When you subscribe, get a 14-day free trial off a monthly subscription plan, but only if you use my promo code SGPN. Find Elias Game Plan app in the App Store or Play Store today and use my promo code SGPN. And if you watch football, you need Fubo TV. Fubo TV gives you complete coverage of college and pro football with NFL Red Zone plus games in 4K at no extra charge. Over 100 channels, I almost gave you 1,000 channels. No, you only get 100 channels of live sports and entertainment for a fraction of the price of cable. Watch on all your devices and never miss a game or an episode of your favorite shows with the included cloud-based DVR. Plus, there's no contract, no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Right now, you can try Fubo TV free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Just go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP. Okie dokie, let's jump into this monster prelim portion of the card. UFC Fight Night, Sandhagen versus Song. Like I said, UFC Vegas 60, you'll probably see it called, at least on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. My article is already up there with my picks. Dan has admitted to reading my picks. I wonder how many of those picks that he read about he has changed his mind on. We shall see. It's going down this
zero side. I've changed my mind on, but a couple of them I was surprised about. I was too.
So September 17th, this Saturday, UFC Apex, as I said. We mentioned on a previous episode that it's a pretty solid fight card. If you're in the know.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is, I mean, there are a lot of people who I really like on this fight card. There's a couple of the matchups I'm like, I don't really know what's going on there. In terms of like for one of them, I don't know why they're putting somebody so good against somebody who is seemingly not so good. Unless they're trying to build them up, but dude, I'll spoil it. It's Joe Pyfer. Why the fuck is Joe Pyfer getting that fight?
Because Dana loves him.
I like him too, but like, can we like him and also like build reasonable hype around him? Dude, Alan Amendovsky, I should save this, but
save it for tomorrow, dude.
Is one of the worst dudes in the UFC.
There, now you don't have to listen tomorrow because you know who we're picking. Damn it, Dan.
All right. We spoiled that Joe Pyfer pick.
We did. All right. ESPN Plus, 4 p.m. Eastern is the start of the prelims, and we're going to start with lightweights. Nicholas Mota versus Cameron Van Camp. As I get my spreadsheet to the right page, here we go. I'm going to tell you about Van Camp first. Jumpman is his nickname. He's 15-6-1 with one no contest, 4 knockouts, 9 submissions. So he is a finisher. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 0-1 the UFC, got knocked out. Both these guys I was going to mention up top, very, very tough debuts in the UFC. Van Camp had Andre Fiallo, and Mota had Jim Miller. So they were really thrown in the deep end. All right. So yes, Van Camp was knocked out by Fiallo, but he did outstrike him in that bout leading up to there, at least total strikes before he got knocked out in the first round. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Does he have a mantle? Do you know, Dan?
I don't know who has.
Have you ever talked to him?
I'm actually really close to a mantle right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you have any regional championships on your mantle?
No, I don't. I've got some tools, weirdly, on the mantle instead. I do have a regional grappling championship, but that's not the same.
It should be on your mantle. Is it?
It's not.
It should be. It should be. like Van Camp has all of his on there. He used to fight at welterweight, Mr. Van Camp. He's 5 inches taller than Mota. He's got 4 inches reach on him. Based off his one UFC fight, he's 2.6 times more active landing strikes, but I've discovered that the more active striker doesn't necessarily win more often than not. I think when I was tracking stats, it was barely above 50%, so I stopped tracking it, but I still give you that info if you are interested. His strike differential, this is something that is at least 60% accurate in picking a winner. He outstrikes his UFC opponents by 0.77 strikes per minute, so he's in the positive there. He's at plus 200. Iron Mota, 12-4 with 8 knockouts. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once, so he's been finishing all of his losses. 0-1 the UFC, got TKO'd by Jim Miller, that old man strength. 1-0 on the Contender Series. 2012, he's been a pro MMA fighter since. He was 1-1 the Ultimate Fighter. He was a CFFC champ, used to fight down at featherweight, so we have a former welterweight versus a former featherweight here. He got outstruck by, I guess this is based off of 2 fights. He's a negative strike differential, minus 1.77 over his Contender Series and his UFC fight. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 205. As per usual, I will let Dan start off unless you want me to.
No, I'm sorry.
You know my picks, though. So.
Yeah, I do. Although I don't remember this one now that I think about it, but that's kind of a large dog for you. So I'm going to guess you're with me and you're pickling Nicholas Mota.
Yes. Look, it was tough, though.
I actually don't think it's that tough. Van Camp's like really hittable. Like he doesn't defend strikes well, which is back to looking at why I picked when I picked him to lose against Fiallo. Like he gets hit too much. Like if you look at how many strikes Fiallo landed in that short period of time, like it was not even a half a round fight and he got hit 17 or 18 times. So that's like, you know, 6.5 a minute at that point in time. He just gets lit up a little bit too fast. And it's not just Fiala who did that. You know, like in his regional level fights, he's been hit a lot as well. So, like, I don't think he's going – like, he recently lost to Bobby Volker. Do you remember Bobby Volker?
I do.
Yeah.
That's old school.
He, like, recently lost to Bobby Volker. You know, he, like, badly got outworked by Austin Hubbard. Like, just, like, the guys you see on his resume are, like, guys who probably shouldn't be beating you if you're UFC caliber. Whereas, like, Mota, if he lands his hands, like, he can knock anybody out. He knocked out Joe Selecki way back when. So – I just think Nicholas Mota has got too much power. Van Camp's too hittable. I'm going Mota here.
Yeah, I dug more into it. First pass through, I was thinking, oh, maybe Mota, but then digging more, maybe Van Camp, but digging more into it. Like you said, the power, Mota's got the power, and his resume is just way better. He's fought and beaten way better people than Van Camp has. So I will go with the chalk here, not surprisingly. Moving on to bantamweights, Tony Gravely versus Javed Basharat. The Basharat brothers are trying to make it 2-0 on the week. Is he the older or brother or younger brother, Javed?
Javed is the older
brother. Okay.
Fareed, the one who just won, is younger by, I believe, 2 years.
Okay, got it. All right, we'll tell you about Gravely first. I don't know anything about his family or siblings. He's 23-7, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted 5 times. So there is a Achilles heel there. He's 4-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights, last one via knockout. He's 1-0 in the Contender Series. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
And maybe some tools, too. Used to fight at featherweight. He outstrikes his UFC opponents by 0.88 strikes per minute. He's at plus 140. Mr. Basharat, the elder Basharat, the snow leopard, 12-0, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions, 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 Contender Series, 4 inches taller than Gravely, 4 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor. He outstrikes his UFC and Contender Series opponents by almost 3 strikes a minute, 2.92 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are well in his favor over Gravely, minus 150. I will be going with Basharat. He is legit. He's got the well-rounded game, high IQ. Just Jong is big on the Basharat brothers' IQs. He loves himself a high IQ fighter, but yeah, Basharat. Gravely has, I think he's at least surprised me as of late. I can't remember if you're picking with him or against him as well, but yeah, he's turned it on as of late, but I think Basharat's just going to be too much for him. So give me a Javed.
Yeah, I think Tony Gravely has impressed me with a couple of things, namely his hands are really impressive, right? Like he lands big shots. Like if you remember the Nate Maness fight that he lost, he like landed big on Maness in the first and pretty much had him out there when Maness was saved by the bell. Maness comes back and knocks him out in the second round, mostly because it looked like Gravely tired. And I think that's why I love Javed Basharat as much in this moment as I do, because you know, like I said, Gravely's two big things, lands big bombs, but like probably tires, has decent offensive grappling. He's not going to out-grapple Javed Basharat. Basharat's got really great takedowns and also phenomenal distance management to stay away from those big shots. You know, like even his little brother Fareed gets hit kind of once in a while with shots he shouldn't. Javed is not that guy. Javed is very safe and very good at not getting hit. And not for anything, while Tony Gravely is good offensively wrestling, he has some weakness in defending the takedowns. Like that's why, if you remember back to when Brett Johns beat him, dude, Brett Johns dominated him on the mats, like really, really, really badly. I think Basharat can do the same thing here, but I also think he can just pick him apart on the feet and just absolutely wear Gravely out. So yeah, I think Basharat all day here. And I think that money line needs to be way higher than it is. Like that ought to be, I think that ought to be negative 220, 230, you know, quite a bit higher than negative 150.
Stop saying that quiet, or unless you've already put all your money on it, then in which case, by all means. But yeah, after this podcast drops, the number will certainly soar. So everybody get in on that. All right, before we move on, so far, both playing the chalk. I'm going to tell you about No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick 'em contests versus other people for the shot at winning $250,000 plus in cash. So even more than that. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot to win big money every day. You can also test your skills versus the house and 20 times your entry if you hit all your picks. Bet on up to 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, hey, that's us, and NASCAR. Set up now with promo code SGPN at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app to get a first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but also where you play. You don't want to miss out on this. PromoGuide.us is the best place to go if you're interested in plus EV betting strategies and making consistent profits from sports betting. They've got daily updates on odds boosts and huge cash bonuses from all the major sports books. Their bet tracker shows an average ROI of 25%. And they got a VIP Discord group that puts an even deeper plus EV analytics right at your fingertips. I got to say, we've been looking at their daily promo updates, and they are some of the most informative in the game. They don't simply tell you what team is probable to win, but where you'll get the best odds and how to track down and cash in big on constantly changing promotions. If you're not already using mathematical models to help you with your picks, you're missing out on an insanely valuable tool. And the best part of all is that Promo Guy is run by a small team of passionate sports fans dedicated to building a well-informed, better betting community. Go to promoguy.us and check out their 100% tracked, transparent, and proven method for betting smarter. Once again, that's promoguy.us. You get consistency, and consistency gives you profit. Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest-growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. The SGPN gang use it for theirs. It's a game-changing product like anything else in the industry. And now you can win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. They have over-unders integrated right into fantasy, the first sports game built into the fantasy experience. Not only can you enter a contest via over-under itself, but you can also do so through your fantasy league's matchup screen. For example, Patrick Mahomes is your starting fantasy quarterback, such as Gumby. And not only do you think you are going to win your fantasy matchup this week, did you win, Gumby?
I did. Yes. By decimal points, not even a full point.
Hey, that's all. A win is a win. But we were also confident that Mahomes was going to hit over 250 passing yards line, which he did, correct?
Yeah, he almost doubled it, damn near.
Exactly. If you pick correctly on things such as that, you can win anywhere from 2 times over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with a tap of a button. It's insanely fun to write it out together. Not only do they have NFL, but they also have college football player props. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $800. Promo code SGP. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. All right, let's get rolling again. Women's flyweight, Maria Agapova versus Jillian Robertson. First of all, I suggest everyone listen to Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast, where he interviews Maria Agapova this week right off the top of the show. Interesting interview, I guess you could say, quote unquote, interesting. She says she has a knee injury headed into this fight, and
not just a knee injury that requires surgery.
Yes. And she's spending all her time being a bouncer, and yeah. So listen to that for sure. We have her listed as Demon Slayer, but she said on your podcast she's going to change her nickname, I think, right?
Yes, I believe she said it should now be called the fucking bouncer.
Yes. So I don't know if the UFC will go with that, but perhaps we'll see. Anything goes in this podcast, so we shall say it. All right. Agapova is 10-3, 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 2-2 in the UFC. She's got win-loss. She got subbed by Marina Moroz in a grudge match in her last fight. She was 2-0 on Invicta before this, 0-1 on the Contender Series, 2 beat her on Contender Series. Do you remember?
Tracy Cortez.
Okay, right. Yep. She got an inch higher than Robertson, 5 inches of reach, 2 years younger, striking stats in her favor, and she's almost 2 times more active landing strikes, 1.9 to be exact. She outstrikes her UFC opponents by 0.19 strikes per minute, plus 125 is the number on her. Jillian Robertson, the Savage, she is a Canadian, even though I think she grew up in Florida, or at least her past few decades have been in Florida, at least. She is 10-7, 1 knockout, 7 submissions. Did I mention she's a Savage? She is a Savage as well. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, so she's pretty durable. 7-5 in the UFC. She's only won one of her last four, however, including losing her last fight. She's fight up at lightweight. She has missed weight in the past. Did I say she used to? She never fought at lightweight. I put that she's fight at lightweight. She's fight at strawweight. That is more like it. She's fight at strawweight, and she was missing weight there, so now she's at a flyweight. She don't won the contender series. Do you know who she lost to?
On contender series?
Yeah, I've heard listed as 0-1 contender. Was she on contender series?
No, she was on the Ultimate
Fighter. Tough. Where yes, 0-1 and tough.
She lost to Barb Honchak on tough. I remember that. Go.
Boy, this is some flawed data here, right? Flawed. All right, what else can I tell you? She does get outstruck in the UFC by her opponents by 0.39 strikes per minute. She's at minus 138. We shall go to Mr. Gumby.
Yeah, I'm going with Jillian Robertson here.
Because of the interview or not?
I'm not going to say entirely because of the interview. I was up in the air like 50-50 before the interview. And to be honest, just like the grappling defense of Maria Agapova already worried me. You know, because like I don't think of Marina Meraz as some kind of like wizard on the mat. And in fact, if you go back and look at Marina Meraz takedown accuracy in her career, it's 22%. Which is not good.
No.
And she scored multiple takedowns on Maria Agapova and then subbed her, which is not good. That's a really bad sign for me. So already I was kind of like, I don't know. And then I remembered that Agapova had said, you know, part of it was because of a knee injury. It was hard for her to get up. And I was like, oh, well, you know, if that's better, maybe I give her a chance on the feet. But then she revealed in that interview that, like, the knee injury is still there. She still needs surgery. And, like, don't get me wrong. If she's going through a training camp and could get medically cleared, you know, her knee isn't, you know, destroyed to the point of no return. But, like, it's also probably at the point where she shouldn't be fighting on it. You know what I mean? And she's not going to be 100% herself. And up against somebody whose ground game is so much better than Marina Meraz, right? We can all agree, Jillian Robertson, not the striker Marina Meraz is, but, like, way, way, way better on the mat than Marina Meraz is. I just think we get to see the Jillian Robertson trademark throat cuddles here. I think she gets right to Maria Agapova's back.
Yeah, all makes sense. Yet you forgot the most important thing. We fade Canadians around here, Dan. So I will be fading the Canadian. It's rough though. Talk like Agapova. I guess I was gonna say her head's not in the right spot, but she's always kind of been like this. So I'm counting on she's gonna be a way better striker than Robertson, bad knee or not.
I think so too. I definitely agree with you, but I don't know. So, and I've been back and forth on this one too. So I don't think your pick is necessarily an awful one, and I'm not telling people they have to use my interview with her as analysis. But like, the thing about her striking though too is I think it leads to a clinch, right? Because of the aggressive way she strikes.
Yeah, that's true.
And she can pick apart a little bit. We saw her pick apart against Sabrina Mazo. I just think, like, with the way that Robertson's gonna move forward and the way that, like, you know, I'm hoping Dean Thomas has worked a little bit more with Robertson on getting the takedown since her last couple of losses. So yeah, I'm gonna say Robertson gets her down.
Yeah, I'm just counting on striking being way better. And Robertson, like you said, she's not the greatest at getting takedowns, and Agapova is just gonna be. I expect her to be bigger and stronger than her. So I am taking a stab at a dog here. We shall see how it plays out. And Agapova seems pretty desperate for the money. So maybe she'll be extra motivated to get the other half of her pay here, the win bonus. All right, move on to the men's side. Lightweights, Trey Ogden versus Daniel Zellhuber. Ogden, the Samurai Ghost, 15-5 with 11 submissions. Do you have a background to his nickname? I don't think you've ever interviewed him, have you?
I have interviewed him, but it was when he was really on the regional scene. And I don't think I ever saw that nickname because it's not on it wasn't on Tapology. I think we went over this last time he fought too.
Yeah, maybe he's just become a ghost recently since you spoke with him, because things do happen to people after they speak with you. So, all right, I said 15-5, 11 submissions. So we know his path to victory here. If he's gonna win, he's been submitted himself three times. He's 0-1 in the UFC, 1-0 in Bellator. He's been outstruck by almost two strikes a minute in the UFC in his one fight, 1.87 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are in his favor, but we're talking small sample size here, plus 230. Zellhuber, the golden boy, 12-0, perfect 12-0, seven knockouts, as I lose my voice, seven knockouts, two submissions, 1-0 in the contender series, was a regional champ, used to fight up at welterweight, 2 inches height, 5 inches reach, 10 years younger. than Ogden. Striking stats in his favor, and he's 2.5 times more active landing strikes, but all this is based off of one fight for each man. He outstruck his contender series opponent by 1.27 strikes per minute, minus 250. I will be going with Zell Huber. 10 years is massive. Age gap, 5 inches reach, massive age gap. And he's a really good fighter, and he just beat a undefeated prospect on contender series. So I think he has what it takes to get by the samurai ghost here.
Yeah, and they didn't seem completely sold on Zell Huber on contender series after he beat Lucas Almeida. Yeah. And then they also signed Lucas Almeida, who you might remember, I think we cashed as like a plus 200 underdog and like a plus 300 prop for him to knock out Mike Trezano. I think it was a couple months ago at this point in time. So like Lucas Almeida is a huge feather in his cap. I'll also say this, you mentioned the struggles with the submission defense for Trey Ogden with 3 submission losses. 2 of them are to the same guy. It's Thomas Gifford, who was one of the worst guys the UFC had signed in a while. You might remember him as the guy who Mike Davis beat within an inch of his life in one of the worst referee issues of all time, or worst late stoppages. And here's the thing. Zell Huber has sneaky good submissions. Like, I know, like, his striking is what people will remember, and his takedowns, you know, like, mix in there, and he can use some ground and pound, and people don't typically think about his reactive submission skills, but he's really got them there. Wouldn't surprise me if he wound up like sneaking one on Trey Ogden on a sloppy shot. But like the bottom line is, if this stays on the feet, he is just going to batter Trey Ogden. Trey Ogden got outstruck by Jordan Leavitt. Like, what more do you need me to say?
Yep. You don't need to say anything else, Dan. We will move on. Women's strawweights, we'll move to. Denise Gomes versus Luma Lukbunmi, which is just one of her many names. So that's the professional name that she's going by now. We will go with Gomes first, 6-1, 4 knockouts. She's been knocked out once. She was 1-0 in the contender series. That was back. She fought August the 22nd. So she's taking this on short notice, and it is her UFC debut. So those words don't go well together, short notice debut. They don't go well together very often. And when they do go well together, the fighter tends to become a legend. Like, I'm already forgetting names. Terrence McKinney, for instance. All right, 1-0 Invicta for Gomes. She's won 6 straight fights. She's done some pro grappling as well. She's an inch taller than Lukbunmi, but most people are taller than Lukbunmi. She's got 2 inches reach on her, 3 years younger. She's 1.6 times more active landing strikes based off of the one fight in her contender series fight, which Dan picked against her in. She outstruck her opponent by 3.2 strikes per minute. She had plus 225. Lukbunmi, 6-3 with 1 knockout. 6-3 with 1 knockout. That's the only finish she has. She's been submitted 1 time. 3-2 in the UFC. She's won 2 of her last 3, but she did lose her last fight. She was 1-0 in a victor as well. She also was a regional champ. Used to fight down at Atom weight. Probably would be the best weight class for her now as well. We haven't banged the atom weight drum for a while, but we think the UFC should get an atom weight division. So anyhow, there, it's out there again. She also has done some pro grappling. She hasn't done grappling. She has grappling stats in her favor though. She outstrikes her UFC opponents by 1.6 strikes per minute. She was a professional Muay Thai kickboxer, all that good stuff in the past. Minus 225 is the number on her, and I believe it's over to you.
I don't love the number on Luma Lukbunmi here, but I'm going to pick her anyway. I don't like the short notice on Gomes. I don't think she looked all that good against Rayanne Amanda. High-end Amanda. Of course. How silly of me.
How silly.
I don't think she looked very good against her. In fact, like if I'm remembering correctly, a couple of us in the Discord had scored the second round for Amanda. I don't think Gomes is all that good. I am a little bit worried that she's going to wind up wrestling Luma Lukbunmi too much. But Lukbunmi has shown good takedown defense, right? And she's got good work from the clinch. So, yeah, I'm going to wind up siding with Lukbunmi here. But definitely not a recommended play for me at that number.
Yeah, I never go with the short notice debutant unless they're obviously really outclassing their opponent on paper, and that's not the case here at all. Dan didn't even pick Gomes to win on contender series, so how good can she really be? So I like Lukbunmi. She's pretty good, talented striker. 1-2 of her last 3, so let's ride with her. All right, I'm gonna tell you the last 2 people, last 2 organizations that we're riding with here, and then we'll get you the rest of our picks for the prelims. Run your pool. Introducing RYP VIP. a brand new subscription service from Run Your Pool that helps you get an extra edge against the books, plus exclusive access to real money pools. Entry to our exclusive week one and week two pools with guaranteed 5,000 payouts, as well as our season-long pool with a guaranteed $100,000 payout. Get access to exclusive data to help with your weekly game picks, premium content like in-depth guides for how to dominate your pools, and exclusive swag. We all love exclusive swag. The top line here is that if you're a serious sports fan, use code SGPNVIP at runyourpool.com/VIP and get 50% off of your first month of Run Your Pool VIP. That's code SGPNVIP at runyourpool.com/VIP. And finally, OddsTrader. What is OddsTrader, you may ask if you're not in the know? OddsTrader is a place to compare odds from all major sportsbooks. You also compare the different signup codes and promotions from sportsbooks to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. OddsTrader, the number one site for all your game day bets. Okay, what shall we move on to now? Let's move on to another women's fight. They're loading this one up with female fighters, which is always fun. Elisa prelims have three of them on it. This is women's bantamweight. Aspen Ladd versus Sarah McMahon is penciled in. Very light pencil, right? That this match is going to happen.
The lightest of pencils. And actually, pencil in the weight class, too, while you're
true. At. Maybe invisible ink it may end up being. We shall see. Let's tell you about Sarah McMahon first. 13-6, one knockout, five submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted four times. 7-6 in the UFC. She's got win over her last three fights. She did win her last fight. She also is 1-0 in Invicta. We got a 1-0 in Invicta streak. There's three straight fighters here. 2011, she's been a pro MMA fighter since. Before that, she was just an Olympic silver medalist in wrestling. She also is a grappling champion. She outstrikes her UFC opponents by 0.34 strikes per minute, plus 123, the number on her. Aspen Ladd, 9-3, six knockouts, one submission. She's been knocked out once. 4-3 in the UFC. However, she's lost two straight, only won one of her last four. Used to fight at featherweight, used to fight at flyweight. Can't imagine her at flyweight now. She's missed weight multiple times, and not just missed weight, didn't make it to the scale sometimes and didn't make it to fight sometimes. It's been interesting. She was 5-0 in Invicta. She's 15 years younger than McMahon. Is this the biggest age gap we've had? I think it may be.
In a long time, at least.
15 is huge. Striking stats in her favor, and she's 1.7 times more active landing strikes. However, she's been outstruck in her fights by her opponents by 0.87 strikes per minute. Minus 125, the number here. Jeff, surprise, surprise, is going a dog here, Sarah McMahon. I can't trust Aspen Ladd anymore. Not just with the weight cutting, obviously, is the one hurdle. Whether she'll make weight, what she'll look like after she makes weight, that type of thing. And then she's just the disinterest in the cage the past few fights. Like, she's just seems lost in there. I can't.
She's got no intent.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Is like, she doesn't seem... She almost has the SGP Johnny Walker before last performance kind of feel to him in the cage, where she's just like, I think I'm winning everything and I don't care to like put a stamp on it. And for that exact reason, I'm also going with Sarah McMahon here.
There you go. And McMahon's going to be, Aspinall kind of likes to, you know, be the stronger fighter, be physical in there. And that's not going to happen with McMahon. She's not going to bully her around.
Yeah. And I would say this too, like if we're looking back at recent fights for like good examples of what they look like, Aspen Ladd hasn't looked good in 3 years. Like, legitimately hasn't looked good in 3 years. You'd have to find the Yana Kunitskaya fight in December of 2019 to find a fight where like, you were like, oh, she had some good moments in there. Like, she didn't have any good moments in the Norma Dumont fight. She didn't have any good moments in the Raquel Pennington fight. And granted, are Norma Dumont and Raquel Pennington better than Sarah McMahon? Probably, but like, not by like, you know, large degrees, right? Like, Sarah McMahon's right there in the conversation. And I'd say this, Sarah McMahon looked phenomenal against Carol Rosa. In her grappling. Carol Rosa. You're in with those hard R's today, so well done. But yes, all of her last few fights, her grappling is held up, right? Four takedowns against Carol Rosa, three against Juliana Pena, who she like largely controlled on the mat before slipping up late in that fight, three against Lena Landsberg. Like, she's gotten her grappling going in every one of her recent fights. I don't really have a reason to think she won't here.
Yep, this is a very good dog. So let's everyone get in on this. It's too bad. Asmalad, you know, well, we had high hopes for her, Dan, but maybe she's one of those fighters that got in so young that they burn out very quickly, which
maybe she'll also pull a Johnny Walker and we'll look like idiots.
Yeah, it's true. She has to change the fight camps first, though, for that to happen. So, all right, two more fights left. Welterweights, Trevin Giles versus Lewis Koske. Koske, the monster. He's 7-1, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's finished all of his opponents, and he's been finishing his one loss. He got knocked out in that fight. 0-1 in the UFC. That was the fight he got knocked out. He's not fought since November of 2020. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's 3 years younger than Giles. He's almost 3 times more active landed strikes, 2.7 to be exact. He has been outstruck, though, over his 2 fights in the Octagon and Contender Series, one by 1.08 strikes per minute. He's at plus 182. Trevin, the problem, Giles, 14-4, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. So he's been finished in all of his losses. He's 5-4 in the UFC. He's been finished in his last 2 fights via knockout or TKO. He used to fight at middleweight, used to fight at light heavyweight. 3 inches height, 3 inches of reach on Koske. Striking stats in his favor. He outstrikes his UFC opponents by 0.89 strikes per minute. Grappling stats as well are in his favor. He's at minus 200. Go ahead.
I'm going to go dog here for a second time in a row.
Really?
Lewis Koske. Yeah. Look, for a couple of reasons. Number one, and perhaps the biggest one here, I really think Trevin Giles has an issue with getting knocked out.
Problem.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. The last 2 guys who have knocked him out are beasts. Like, he got knocked out by Dricus Duplessis and Michael Morales, who are just, you know, phenomenal. But, like, Roman Dolidze hit him hard enough to, like, kind of wobble him. He got hit hard by James Krause. And, you know, like, the other thing, too, is he's shown he's kind of susceptible to, like, dealing with wrestlers. Like, James Krause took him down. You know, like, Roman Dolidze got him down once. Dricus Duplessis took him down a couple of times. And Lewis Koske is a good wrestler. And then the other thing I will say, too, about Koske is he hits really freaking hard. Like, I know if you look back, his lone fight in the UFC is a loss to Sasha Palatnikov, who isn't even in the UFC anymore. But if you remember that fight, too, he pretty much didn't win it because he tagged Palatnikov like 45 seconds into the fight, gassed himself entirely out in that first round, not getting the win. And then at the end of the day, like, Palatnikov just, like, kind of took over. So, like, you can, you know, sort of give the win there to Palatnikov's durability, because Koske, I mean, he knocked out Victor Reyna on the Contender Series. I don't think Trevin Giles takes the big punch here. And even if he does, I think Koske can wind up, like, tiring him out by controlling him and working the wrestling. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Koske here. I think it's a sleeper underdog pick on this card.
Okay. I'm going with Giles, bigger, better striker. And Koske's been out of the cage for too long. So that's what I'm going against. But Dan just gave you very compelling reasons why he's going with the dog. So there you go. And finally, very nice matchup here to main event, the prelims. Damon Jackson versus Pat Sabatini at featherweight. Let me see here. Actually, okay, that fight's been moved. So we only have, all right, I thought we had 9 fights. We only have 8. So Damon Jackson, Pat Sabatini will be the final fight. That will break it down. Let's get into it. We'll tell you about the leech, Damon Jackson, first. 21-4-1 with 1 no contest. He's been knocked out 3 times. He's knocked out 3 people, submitted 15. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. So all of his losses have come via finish. 4-2-1 with 1 no contest in the UFC over 2 stints. However, since being rehired, he's gone 4-1, including 3 straight wins. He was 0-1 in PFL, 1-0 in Bellator. He was the legacy champ for all this. He used to fight at lightweight. 2012, he's been a pro MMA fighter since. 3 inches height, 1 inch of reach on Sabatini. He's 1.5 times more active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck by his UFC opponents by 0.31 strikes per minute. Plus 135, the number on him. Pat Sabatini, 17-3. 2 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He's 4-0 in the UFC. He also was a CFFC champ twice. He's won 6 straight fights. He's 2 years younger than Jackson. Striking stats in his favor. He outstrikes his UFC opponents by 0.39 strikes per minute. Grappling stats as well in his favor. He's at minus 180. As I wrote, Jackson, it's hard to go against Jackson the way he's been rolling recently. But I think this is the step up. Too high, too much, too far. Past Sabatini is probably just a bit too good for him. Strong grappler like Jackson, so he should be able to keep himself safe from Jackson's submission game, and I think he's a better striker of the two men. So give me chalk here.
Yeah, I agree with your breakdown there. Is that like I won't say that I think that Pat Sabatini is good enough here to grapple with Damon Jackson. Like, I don't think he's going to get the takedowns at all. To anybody who's like, oh, you know, he's a Daniel Gracie guy, Daniel Gracie guys get their takedowns. He actually has struggled a little bit with takedowns, like, surprisingly. Like, the Tristan Connolly fight sticks out. Tristan Connolly, you know, sort of stuffed everything he had. But at the end of the day, like, Sabatini has big punches. You know, like, Sabatini has a great work rate. You know, he hasn't knocked anybody out in the UFC, but he knocked people out back in CFFC. And, you know, it's mostly submissions for him, including one of Tony Gravely. But, like, at the end of the day, I think he's going to outpoint Damon Jackson, a guy who, like, didn't look amazing on the feet against Charles Rosa, which is, you know, like, a guy you should be able to exploit on the feet. So, yeah, I'll take Sabatini here all day.
Of course, Daniel Gracie, all day long, right?
Yeah, I mean, all day long, although I will say this one's probably not a recommended play for me, just because, yeah, like, you're going to see the best part of Pat Sabatini probably neutralized, and that, yeah, for me, means I don't want to play him at negative 200 and something.
Yeah, yeah, the Jackson's been surprising us for a long time since he's returned. So, all right, so that is the prelims, because the Hernandez versus Barrio fight, I see, has been moved up to the main card. So you got 8 fights here. We'll be back in your ears tomorrow with another 6 to make this complete. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland, and the show account is SGPN MMA. As I mentioned, make sure you listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast. You should listen to every episode like I do, but definitely listen this week to hear Maria Agapova. Very interesting interview, to say the least. And read all their stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. My picks or article is already up there now. I'll have my, maybe by the time you're hearing, actually tomorrow's podcast, Thursday, I'll be putting up my DFS/DraftKings picks. So that will be up maybe by the time you hear tomorrow's podcast. And if you want to play in a pick'em contest and read some more of my MMA stuff, it's moneymma.substack.com. I believe that is it. I'm going to let Dan take us home, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Go ahead.
I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's the fucking bouncer, Jeff Fox. And we will see you tomorrow.